Good morning and welcome to the Abundant Living Radio Broadcast. My name is Tim Huth and I pastor the Stowe Falls Baptist Church in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Have your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning for a message on faith. Okay, you have your Bible open in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in just a moment at verse number 1. We're going to try to work our way through verse number 11. It's just a great passage of Scripture that talks about growing in our faith. And there's so much confusion today and so many things are being taught. And we just go right back to the Word of God as our source of truth and hope and strength. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And we live in a day where churches are changing so fast, and they're turning up the music louder, and they're turning the truth down, and they're turning every way, trying to please everybody. And friends, we just need to stay where we please God. If we can make God pleased with what we're doing, everything else will work out just fine. So I just want to encourage you that way. If you're able to get out to church this morning, you might as well just go ahead and start getting ready now and to go out and worship with the brethren. If you don't have anywhere to worship, come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 and the morning service at 10:45 at 1601 Monroe Falls Avenue. That's the Stowe Falls Baptist Church. If you're not able to get out this morning, and well, you just have your Bible in hand, and let's go through 2 Peter chapter 1. Begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." What a precious start. So Simon Peter's writing this, the Apostle Peter, and we know that the Word of God is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit used men to write, and Peter is one of those men. And we remember when we first met Peter, all the way back in the gospel record. As a matter of fact, the first time that Jesus and Peter came face to face on this earth, Jesus looked at him right in the face in John chapter 1, verse number 41. And says, "I know who you are. You're Simon, son of Bar-Jonah." But Jesus said, "When I'm finished with you, your name will be Cephas," or Peter, which means rock. And so God knew who he was. Peter was heady. He was high-minded. He was self-sufficient. He was a man's man. Nobody tells him what to do. He was hard-headed. Matter of fact, I think in all the record of the New Testament, he's the only one that ever grabbed Jesus and said, "Not so, Lord." So that's pretty strong-willed person to grab the Lord and tell him it's not going to be the way he just said it was. Peter was very energetic and very forthright, and oftentimes he showed himself to be very prideful and getting ahead of the Lord. But as God has worked through his life through the years, and we watch him through the ministry of the Lord Jesus, we watch him on the day of Pentecost, and then those years following that as he stands up as a leader among leaders, a man who loves the Lord, loved the Word of God, loved sinners, and stayed faithful. And now we see him near the end of his life. He's recording for us the message that God had to give. And he describes himself as Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so an apostle, that's a very special calling. An apostle simply means one that is sent, a sent one. But along with that apostolic ministry, there became apostolic authority. And God gave these men special abilities, special gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes they could heal. They could speak with other tongues, other languages. And they could prophesy. And with those apostles, when they passed away, those sign gifts passed away also. You know, the Bible is clear in the New Testament, those sign gifts were for unbelieving Jews. It wasn't God's intention that we would try to continue some sort of an apostolic succession through the years and still try to maintain some sort of apostolic authority. Those apostles are gone and their ministry is gone, yet the Word of God still remains, and God still indwells believers to carry out his work to the ends of the earth. And so you would think that he would have announced himself as an apostle first, but he doesn't. And you see the humility in his own heart and life. You see what God has done in his life. He first introduces himself as a servant. What a great place to be. And so who's he writing to? It says that he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith. In the like precious faith. And he describes that as having received the righteousness of God. And so what a blessed thing, like precious faith. Would you consider your faith this morning to be precious? Peter did. God sure did. And what does it mean to have faith? Well, people have all kinds of different faiths and different things. But Bible faith is a faith in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus is God's eternal Son, that he did leave heaven's glory, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary, took upon him the sin of the world, bore in his body the wrath of God for our sin, provided through his shed blood righteousness for the payment of our sin, gave up the ghost, was buried on the third day, rose again. And the Bible says that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so the truth is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the like precious faith. Like meaning, this is anyone who has this faith, we have a common bond. And that bond is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And so he's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. And friend, I want to ask you this morning before we go on, have you ever placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Excuse me. You know, he's not talking about have you ever joined the church. There are a lot of people who belong to churches today that do not have precious faith. He didn't say, have you been baptized? He did not say, have you taken communion? He didn't say, have you been a good person? Have you been a good provider for your family? Have you been a faithful spouse? Have you been a faithful and an enduring parent? Have you been a precious friend? He doesn't ask these things because it's not by those works of righteousness that you can be saved. It's according to his mercy that you're saved. And Jesus Christ came to be our substitute, to take our sin and to provide for us salvation. And Bible faith is faith in Jesus Christ. So friend, I ask you, have you ever placed your faith in Jesus Christ? If you were to die right now, and whether it were natural causes, whether it were an accident, whether it was a tragedy or a catastrophe of some sort, but if your life were to be taken this day, do you have the assurance in your heart that you would lift your eyes in heaven? You know, God says that you can know where you're going to spend eternity. You don't have to face your last day. You don't have to face the last moments of your life in uncertainty. God says that you can know. In 1 John 5:13, God records this. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so God says, I want you to know. And he didn't say, I want you to earn. He says, he didn't say, I want you to pay. He says, I want you to know. If you know Christ, you have life. And the verse right before that says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus is the difference. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stood up and he preached, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So friend, if you have not trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you right now, bow your heart before a holy God, confess your sin. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, it's a truth. It's just up to you to realize that truth, to accept it, not to make excuses for it, not to say, well, I'm a sinner because of where I grew up. I'm a sinner because of my parents. No, just be honest. You're a sinner because you choose to be a sinner. You have had choices to make in your life. You knew what was right. You knew what was wrong, and you chose to do what was wrong. You've proven God correct. You are a sinner. And now, as you realize your sin before God, realize there's a payment for that sin. The Bible says that all sin must be judged. Now, sin can be judged one of two ways. One way, your sin can be judged by God on you for all eternity, and that would be dying and spending eternity in hell. And so it's not popular today. Most churches, maybe, I don't know about most, but there are quite a few. You'll never hear any messages on hell anymore. They've explained it away. I looked at a website the other day, and they were giving all these excuses of why they don't believe that there's a hell. I don't know how you can be a Bible believer, friend, and not believe that there's a hell. Now, we know that God created hell for the devil and his angels, but it's a reality that anybody that leaves this earth with an unpaid sin debt must go and face the judgment of God, the condemnation of God for their sin. Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, friend, you say, well, I can't believe that a loving God would send somebody to hell. God says he's given his son to be the payment for our sin. And if we would have put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we wouldn't have to worry about going to hell. We'd have our sins forgiven. So ultimately, friend, if you die and go to hell, it would be you that sends yourself to hell because God gave you an opportunity to have your sins paid for. So sin will be paid for one of two ways. Either you'll pay for it yourself, you'll be punished for it in hell, or you could accept Christ who already was punished for your sin and already made the payment on Calvary 2,000 years ago. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, there's hope in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you just to bow your head before God and say, yes, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that I'm accountable for my sin. But I'm trusting Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin, was buried, and rose again. And I'm accepting, I'm receiving Christ as my Savior by faith. And God's promise is that he will save you and immediately will seal you. He'll give you his Holy Spirit within your heart, that will seal you until the day of redemption. What does that mean? Till the day that Jesus comes again and receives us unto himself. Friend, it's a precious faith. It's a precious faith. We'll never have to face condemnation for our sin. We'll never have to face the judgment of our sin. And let me just say this. There are so many running around today teaching that, if you turn your back on God as a Christian, or if you sin as a Christian, you'll lose that salvation. Friend, God never intended us to live in fear of him. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And Jesus offers eternal life. When you come to Christ, you receive eternal life and you shall never perish. Jesus used the term being born again. Once you're born spiritually, you can never die spiritually. Your body will still physically die and physically go to the ground someday, but your spirit will never die. You can never be lost again. Jesus says, all that have come to me, I have lost none. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we become children of God, John 1:12. When we trust him by faith, he becomes our Father, we become his children. That relationship is eternal. Then there's another aspect of that. It's called fellowship. This is when we walk together, we fellowship together, and that's what the Bible talks about in 1 John in chapter number 1, in verses number 7, number 8, number 9, and number 10, that we have fellowship together with him. But if we sin, this fellowship is broken. That relationship stays intact. We're not lost again. He's not casting us off. We've not walked away from him, from our salvation, from that relationship. We've been born again. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But now that fellowship is broken. We cannot walk with him. And so if while we're in sin, we cannot have fellowship with God. And so now that fellowship is broken. We don't have the peace that God intended us to have. We don't have the joy that God wants us to have. And we don't have the love for others like God would have us to have, because sin is blocking that. And so that sin just needs to be confessed. We just need to agree with God. I know that's wrong. And then walk away from it, and that fellowship can be restored. But I challenge you to search the Scriptures. Nowhere in the Scriptures does God indicate that you would lose your salvation, that he would stop loving you. The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God in Romans chapter 8? It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Nothing can separate us. He says, not life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things are, nor things that are to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Truly, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. And so Peter's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. If you're listening this morning, and let's go on just a little further here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to verse number 2. Now he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and in Jesus our Lord. And so verse 1 talks about a precious faith. Verse number 2, I just want to kind of make this a little easier to understand. It talks about a peaceful faith. And grace and peace. We live in a world of unrest. I mean, it is absolutely a mess. I mean, just in our own area last week, the floods and the storms, and across our country, the fires and the earthquakes and the tornadoes and across the world, not only the natural disasters, the weather, we've got terrorism and we've got wars and we've got famines and we've got diseases. We've got political unrest. We have insurrections. There are just a world of turmoil. I don't know how anybody could watch as much news as some people watch. Let me encourage you. Be careful taking in too much of this. You're watching too much television, reading too much of the news, and it's just too much to take. And but you know what? As a believer, God says we have peace. Our faith brings peace. How can our faith bring peace? Well, our faith is founded on Jesus Christ and on His Word. Friend, we've read the end of the book. We win. It's going to be a glorious day someday. The trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is going to come again. He's going to receive us unto Himself, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. And that's called the rapture. And without a doubt, the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture. And there will be a tribulation on this world, 7 years of tribulation that are worse than the world has ever seen. But before that time, God's coming to get us who have faith and take us home to heaven. And we ought to have peace. We ought to be thinking about the Lord returning. We ought to be thinking about Jesus coming again. It ought to encourage us. And there are some tough days. Some of you listening today probably are going through some tough times right now. Maybe it's a body filled with pain. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you feel lonely or abandoned. Maybe it's financial with work or struggling. And it could be you're just getting older, not able to do the things you used to do. And it could bring you low. It could discourage you. But our faith ought to be able to encourage us. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, we're never alone with Jesus. And we can walk with Him. We can talk with Him. We can fellowship with Him. And there's a purpose for our life. God has a reason for everything He does in the life of His children. And He has a right to do whatever He's doing. And but He's promised never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to walk through and to guide us in every situation, in every circumstance. And so our faith brings peace. Also, our faith brings peace with other people. And oftentimes there are people that just aren't that nice and they're hard to get along with in our lives. But you know what? We can learn to be forgiving. We can learn to be graceful. We can learn to be patient. And we can have peace. The Bible says that God is able to even make our enemies to be at peace with us. Oh, that's amazing. So there's a precious faith in verse number 1. There's a peaceful faith in verse number 2. And we get to verse number 3. It says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And in verse number 3, maybe we see a powerful faith. And somebody say, well, you know, we don't have anything. Somebody says, well, we have faith. Oh, yeah, okay, we have faith. As if faith were a small thing. And, you know, faith in and of itself isn't really that big a deal, maybe. It's what your faith is in. And, you know, if I'm in a hot air balloon, I can have faith that it's not going to, that it's going to be able to carry me through the air. But I tell you what, we hit some high winds, we start hitting some massive weather, my faith in that hot air balloon is going to get a little smaller. And, you know, your faith is can only be as strong as the object that you've placed it in. Does that make sense? And when our faith is in God, well, now we have powerful faith. And we have a God that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear what's going on in this world. Our faith is powerful. And so what do we do? We pray. We can pray anytime, day or night. I've come to learn that every failure in my life is a prayer failure. I need to pray about things more. As believers, we need to pray more. There's power in prayer. God hears prayer. He answers prayer. And there's power in our faith. And there's power in the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than every two-edged sword. And so when we have temptations, we can quote scriptures and they'll help us to stay clean before the Lord. When we have fears, we can quote scripture. We can read the Bible and it'll give us peace in the midst of the storm. And when we don't know what to do, we can look to the Bible for answers to give us wisdom and to guide us on our way. Our faith is a powerful faith. And may God help us to not be walking around lifeless, but to be walking in the power of God through our faith. And so verse number 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so verse number 1, we have a precious faith. Verse 2, we have a peaceful faith. Verse 3, we have a powerful faith. Verse 4, we have a promising faith. God says he's given us great and precious promises. And the life of a believer is truly a life built on promises. Years ago, somebody gave me a little New Testament. It's called the Precious Promises New Testament. And so every promise in there is highlighted. Oh, friend, we have so many wonderful promises from God. And he's met every need that we have. He's given us hope in every situation. He truly is hope for the hopeless and help for the helpless. And so we're not alone. And he gives us promises that would help us, guide us through our relationships, through our finances, through our health challenges. He has promises that would carry us through the darkest days of our life and take us right through the valley of death, right onto those golden streets of glory. What a promising faith. Now, if we continued on a little bit, and we'll probably have to pick this up another time, but beginning in verse number 5, actually verses 5 through 7, we have a faith now that has a purpose to it. So I would kind of look at this as being a purposeful faith. And somebody says, well, I have faith in Jesus. Now what? Now go forward. Go on. The Bible says, go on to perfection. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So many Christians are discouraged because they stopped growing. So many churches are dying today because they stopped growing. Friend, if you stop learning, you stop teaching, you can't go forward unless you're growing. And so these verses encourage us to grow. Verse number 5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence. Boy, I tell you, growing takes work. It takes hard work. The Bible calls it diligence. He says, add to your faith virtue. The word virtue, through the years, people say, well, that's moral excellence. You know, it definitely teaches a morality, but it's beyond that. It's power. Virtue is power. It's strength. Somebody says, well, I have faith. Well, you have faith. Well, you have the power of God working in your life. And God says to allow our faith to motivate, to move us, to strengthen us. And he says, add to that virtue, knowledge. And we ought to be growing. We ought to be learning. Some of the most precious verses in the Bible are at the end of this book we're reading, 2 Peter chapter 3, says in verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we want to increase in knowledge. We have a faith that ought to be growing. And he goes on and he says to add to that knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control. Add to that temperance, patience. Patience is learning to wait on the Lord. I used to think that waiting was a waste of time until I understood Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isn't that amazing? Renew their strength. Waiting is not a waste of time. And so he goes on, it says, add to that patience, godliness. And add to that godliness, brotherly kindness. And so we're through verse number 7 of 2 Peter chapter 1. We're not going to have much time to go further than that this morning, friend. But I want to encourage you, if you're listening this morning and you're a believer, why don't you read through the next 4 verses or so and allow these truths to encourage you. And God wants us to grow as Christians. And so we have the Word of God we ought to be reading and studying on a daily basis. We ought to be praying. We ought to be fellowshipping with other believers in a local church where we can worship and serve God together. If you're listening this morning, friend, you've never been born again, let me encourage you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God bless you. Have a great day. Well, friend, I hope you enjoyed our Bible lesson this morning. And if there's anything that I can do for you, please don't hesitate to call. Again, my name's Tim Huth. I pastor the Stowe Falls Baptist Church. That's at 1601 Monroe Falls Avenue in Cuyahoga Falls. That phone number is area code 330-688-7437. And maybe you look at our website. We've got some helpful things on there. And it's StoweFallsBaptistChurch.com. And if you don't have a church that you can worship and serve in, why don't you come visit us? We're an old-fashioned church. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We sing the great hymns of the faith. and we gather together, worship the Lord, and be equipped so we can reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.